This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. As the United States entrenches itself deeper into the war in Syria under the Trump administration, Syrian refugees continue to be neglected and even reviled. Here in the United States, only a small number of refugees from Syria have been admitted compared to other countries, and the challenges they face are often ignored. Now, a new documentary sheds light on one refugee family that moved to Los Angeles in 2012 and how they have coped in a new land. The film is called Dahlia's Other Country, and it will air on PBS starting June 26th. It touches on issues of war, immigration, religion, gender, and much more. Joining me now is the filmmaker, Julia Meltzer, along with the subject of the film, Dahlia Zeno. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
So, Dahlia, let me start with you. The documentary is a very intimate look at how, almost even a coming of age story. So you've spent a number of years in the United States. During this time, have you felt your transition was relatively easy, especially compared to how your fellow Syrians are struggling with brutal war and violence back home?
Yeah, I definitely had some hardships at the beginning, but I don't think I can compare myself in any way to the hardships that other fellow Syrians are going through.
And you went to a Catholic girls' school when you first came to the U.S. That must have been interesting. I am also the product of a Catholic girls' school, but that must have been interesting for you.
At the beginning, I didn't want to go there because I felt like I already stand out with my hijab, and at an all-girls Catholic high school, I'm going to stand out even more. But then throughout the years, I started loving my experience and loving, I guess, like learning about someone else's religion. And it kept me, I felt it opened my eyes and it kept me open-minded, and I loved it.
Julia, how did you come upon the topic of this film? Because the story of refugees, the world over, of, you know, someone who has been displaced and resettled, there are some common themes, but each individual story is, of course, individual. How did you find this particular subject, and what made you pick this story to cover?
So Dahlia's older brother, Mustafa, worked on outreach and distribution for my last film. And my last film was called The Light in Her Eyes. It's about a Quran school for women and girls in Damascus, Syria. I lived in Syria in 2005-06, and then I returned every year until November 2010. So that was about 3 or 4 months before the war in Syria began. And when we were doing outreach and distribution for The Light in Her Eyes, that was around July 2012, which is when Aleppo was entering the war. And at that time, I thought one way that I can contribute to saying something, doing something around the crisis that I felt like would continue for many years, and I still feel that way, would be to find someone who is coming from Aleppo to Los Angeles and to tell their story. So coincidentally, Mustafa's sister, Dahlia, and Radina, his mother, had just arrived. They had been there for maybe 2 or 3 months, and I started talking to him and to Dahlia and Radina about the possibility of filming Dahlia during her high school years. And so then it took some, you know, talking about it and also really negotiating with the school, because filming in schools around a bunch of other students and minors is a complicated process. So after all of that was negotiated, we ended up starting to film in 2013.
So that was a year after Dahlia and her mother moved to the United States. Over how many years did you make the film?
The last shoot was in January 2017, so it was almost 4 years.
Wow!
But the story really was the story was always Dahlia's high school years. So I filmed her from her freshman year to her senior year, and then when we stopped shooting after her graduation, we were in the midst of a presidential election, and then I thought, well, it's possible that some of this story might affect Dahlia if, you know, then candidate Trump was elected, or even just the rhetoric that was happening during the presidential campaign was something that I thought maybe might be useful for the film. And we did shoot the election and the kind of watching the returns. Dahlia actually turned 18 on Monday, November 8th, so she voted for the first time. 7th, sorry. She turned 18 on the 7th, and then we voted on the 8th, and we went and went to the polls together and then watched the returns. And I think that was possibly the hardest shoot I ever did in my life. And then I thought about that material for a while and whether it really belonged in the film. And then in January, when the Muslim travel ban was announced, Dolly went to her first protest. And so we went and filmed that at LAX.
Right. And in fact, that first ban included an indefinite stoppage of Syrian refugees in particular from entering the country. So people exactly like Dalia and her mother.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that was Dalia's first protest. So we were there together.
So Dalia, let's talk about what it has been like for you in the United States these past several years. One of the things that comes out in the film, Dalia's Other Country, is the issue of your hijab, something that you might have taken for granted all of your life. But coming to the United States, being the only girl wearing a hijab in your school, you became the focus of a lot of your fellow schoolmates who asked you why you wore it. Was that a difficult thing to navigate, to try to explain to them? Did you experience any bullying, or was it more curiosity?
It was definitely more curiosity. It was difficult because I was a freshman. I was 14. I didn't know how to explain it well. And yeah, it was definitely difficult, but later on, I got used to them, they got used to me, and yeah, it was more about curiosity, I guess.
And did your life, I mean, you in the film, there's a moment where you say, you know, you're the person who you are because you were raised in Syria and then moved to the U.S. You would have been a different person if you had lived all your life in the U.S., and of course, a different person if you'd lived all your life in Syria. How did the United States change you?
Well, first of all, I experienced a lot here, especially in high school. I did a lot of sports, I did a lot of arts, I did music, dance. These are all things that I may or may not have done in Syria, especially being in all-girls Catholic high school and learning about Catholicism also. I feel like I said, it opened my mind more, I guess. And I learned ideas such as like feminism, and I guess the United States kind of taught me to voice my opinion and to not be afraid, especially as I went to the Trump protest. All these little things definitely formed me. And I guess it in some way actually made me grow stronger as a person. Mm-hmm.
Julia, the film isn't just about Dalia, it's also about her mother, and who isn't with us today right now during this interview. Tell me a little bit about Rudaina, Dalia's mother. She came to this country with her daughter. She left her husband behind initially, and you go in a little bit into some detail about the relationship between she and her husband, Dalia's father.
Yeah, so originally when I started making the film in 2013, I thought it would really just be a story about Dalia and maybe about one of her friends and kind of looking at an immigrant experience and, you know, Dalia coming from Syria, and then her school really was full of immigrants from all places. I mean, you know, she was surrounded by people from Mexico, from Central America, from the Philippines, from Korea, other Middle Easterners. So I thought maybe that would be the story. And then as I got to know their family, and, you know, especially Rudaina, I learned more about the backstory of Rudaina's marriage and how and why she decided to divorce and to leave her husband. I thought, you know, that could be an amazing story for me to follow as well. You know, Rudaina had made the choice to go to college. So both Dalia and her mother were going through this education process, kind of on a similar track, but at different points in their lives. And I, having lived in Syria and knowing something about their culture and community, I thought very unlikely that Rudaina will talk openly with me about her marriage, because those things are private. And it's not often that women want to talk about personal details of their lives. And I was really surprised when Rudaina agreed to interview and to speak openly about the fact that her husband had married a second wife and that she decided that she couldn't accept that and that she would leave the marriage. Most women in her position would not talk about things like this. And so the story kind of opened up from there. And, you know, I thought, let me just take this step by step and see how Rudaina is on camera, if she's willing to talk about it, then if, you know, Dalia's father would be willing to talk, and then actually what would happen with their relationship, because at the time it wasn't clear whether they were going to together or whether they were going
right.
to split apart.
And that's what's so interesting about the story is that, you know, beneath the layers of the fact that these are refugees who are at the heart of the film are the everyday problems of life. When life, you know, gets in just the universal issues of relationships and growing up and school and marriage, etc. I want to play for our audience an excerpt of the trailer of the documentary Dahlia's Other Country, where we see Dahlia meeting her father, who finally comes to the United States. She meets him at the airport. When we come back, we'll tell you how you can watch the documentary.
I see him. Dad!
My dad does not like it here at all. He doesn't feel his religion here.
I belong to a more Muslim country. Los Angeles is a big city. It's too busy, too much rush. People are not free to visit with other people.
My dad didn't want me to be here at all in the United States. He thought I would be such a bad girl. There's gonna be boys there.
It is very hard for me to have my children live in the United States. I was really concerned about her hijab. It would have been devastating for me. Had she taken it off?
Presidential frontrunner Donald Trump is facing heavy criticism after calling for a, quote, total and complete ban on Muslims.
Focus on your own makeup.
If I still lived in Syria, I would have been a completely different person. If I was born and raised here, I would have been a completely different person. I don't really think about my past anymore. I just live here now in the present.
And that's an excerpt from the trailer of the film Dahlia's Other Country, which debuts on PBS stations nationwide June 26th. We'll post a link on our website where you can find out what your local listings are. With me still is the filmmaker of the documentary, Julia Meltzer, and the film's subject, Dahlia Zeno. Dahlia, in this clip that we just heard, you meet your father after a few years of living in the United States, and he was concerned about your being in the United States and how it might dilute your Muslim identity. Were his fears overblown, or, you know, have you managed to retain your identity living in the United States?
Thankfully, I think I definitely kept my I guess, like, religious values here in the United States, because I had the foundation in Syria, and then I came here and I was still around the Muslim community.
Not that I should add, not that it's a bad thing to rebel, of course, as a child, but I won't encourage it one way or another. It's just so seems as though it turned out you've retained your Muslim identity.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
No, there's things that Dahlia did while she was here that I don't think her father embraced completely, but then he came around to it. Like, he didn't love that you played soccer.
Yeah.
And then he adjusted to that. I mean, there was things that I think don't have much to do with your religion, but that you kind of pushed him a little bit and accepted it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, certainly patriarchal values are sadly universal. Julia, finally, let me ask you, how important was it for you through this story to give Americans a glimpse of people from a country that we don't humanize enough? You know, Syria is this place where there's violence and war, and the refugees have been characterized as potential terrorists, which, you know, of course is not true, because most of them are the biggest victims of any terrorism. But we just don't see enough humanizing of people like Dahlia and her mother and her family. Was that the main goal of your film?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the goal is to show, you know, what that experience of transitioning from one place that we have certain preconceptions about to the United States, and allow viewers to see what Dahlia does and what she feels, and the challenges that she goes through and the successes that she has. And, you know, I thought for sure along the way there would be things that come up that she would have to confront and get over, and we would all experience that along with her. I also think that, you know, there's been a lot of films about the war in Syria that have come out, and many of those show what's happening on the ground in Syria and the war that's going on there. And that is not the Syria that I knew or experienced. There wasn't war when I lived there. It was a very, it actually was one of the safest places that I've lived. So I feel like giving a different perspective on that is really important now. And I also think showing what a women's experiences is something that is very lacking. And I think that often is because it takes longer to get in with the women and that culture is more private. And so as a filmmaker or as a journalist or as a writer, you have to spend more time getting to know women or, you know, young women like Dahlia. It's not something that you can just like charge in and tell that story and leave and get anything that's really in depth or actually kind of like complex.
Well, you spent 4 years filming, so clearly this is a very complex look at a story. Dahlia, I want to ask you what plans you have for the future. You are now an American citizen. You voted in the last election the day after your 18th birthday. Many immigrants and refugees take their civic duties very seriously because you know, we're grateful to be here. What do you plan for the future as somebody who's started a new chapter in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to community college right now. I'm planning to study architecture then and transfer to university. Yeah.
I wanted to just say something about architecture.
Okay, so I guess my dream kind of is to study architecture and to use that to help out Syria in the future, help rebuild the destruction.
Well, that is certainly a worthy goal. It is a country that's going to be in great need of rebuilding once the war is over. I want to thank the two of you so much for joining us today. Good luck to the both of you.
Thanks for having us.
My guests are Julia Meltzer, filmmaker, and Dahlia Zeno, the subject of the documentary we've been discussing, which is called Dahlia's Other Country. And it's a film that's going to be showing on PBS starting Monday, June 26th. And we'll post a link to our website where you can find out about local listings. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.